Hello again, I'm Adam Shapiro, and this is Talkonomics. I'm excited today because I finally get to interview somebody who I've met very quickly, and it's somebody that millions of people know. It's Dennis Prager. And let me tell you very quickly why I invited Mr. Prager to come on Talkonomics. It was many years ago when I first heard about him, and I read a book called Why the Jews. And it's a book that talks about why anti-Semitism, one of the oldest hatreds in the world, remains and is prevalent today. But then I started following Mr. Prager because he doesn't just write about issues involving Jews. He writes about the United States. He writes about liberty and our responsibility towards liberty. And he's a nationally syndicated talk show to 150 different stations. So he's no lightweight when it comes to issues, political issues, economic issues. But one of his favorite words, and I was listening to his show just today, he talked about this, is clarity. And that's what Dennis Prager is attempting to do for all of us, is bring us clarity on key issues that impact our lives. And if you've been to Prager University, I'm going to be saying this throughout, you have got to go to the website. It is free. And you can watch these very short videos, whether it's on your cell phone or on your computer. You can share them with your friends. Millions of people watch these every week. And they're some of the brightest minds in the world on science, on the environment, on history, on social issues, and on the Republic, on our United States. So I'm going to stop talking about that, or as they would say, I think, in Yiddish, kveling, because I've got Dennis Prager. And Dennis Prager's on the other end, and he's listening to us right now. Welcome to Talkonomics.
Yeah, I just want to say I was a drop offended when you said he's no lightweight. I just want to say that for the record. It was a trigger moment.
Yeah, no trigger warning.
I did go into a safe room for a little moment there.
Yeah, do you want to go there now? Do you really want to talk about the free speech issues and all of that?
I'll talk about anything you want. Thank you for that lovely introduction.
Well, I'm really thrilled to be able to talk to you because I met you. I introduced myself in 2008 at the Republican convention. I was covering it for Fox then. But it was that book years ago. I was living in Cleveland. And it was part of an evolution of who I am as a man because, I am Jewish and I'm proud that I'm Jewish. I remember as a very little boy, my grandparents in Portland, Maine, I would come out first to wake up and my grandfather would be facing this huge picture window. Facing the ocean and the east, and he'd be praying. He was davening. And as I grew older, I realized what he was doing. And he had been brought up as an Orthodox Jew. He wasn't at this point. But I have this very strong Jewish background, yet we still had lobster on Friday night. So that's I think, what you call Maine kosher. It's clearly not kosher, but that's –
That is really funny. That is like having ham on matzah.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, I used to live in Cleveland, Ohio, and the big Jewish neighborhood in Cleveland is Beechwood. It's on the east. It's, as you get out, Shaker, Beechwood. And I love Cleveland, but I used to joke that I keep Beechwood kosher, and people would say, what is that? And I say, I never admit that I eat shrimp. So,
So the admission aspect was the kosher aspect.
Listen, so I don't want this to just be a discussion.
I do want to tell people, if I may, about why the Jews. I have written six books. That's one of them, and that is the latest edition. It's done. It's always been in print, and it's the third edition. It just published actually this week. Oddly enough,
congratulations.
You should mention this, and it's because. It's so relevant to our time because
Bingo.
The point is that Jew hatred is mankind's most precise predictor of evil. If the 99% of humanity that isn't Jewish does not understand that is a calamity for the 99% because whoever starts with the Jews never ends with the Jews.
And the other thing is why it's relevant to our discussion to mention that book. Is that free speech is at the core of protecting individual rights. And when we start shutting down speech, my question becomes how long is it till we start burning books? And we've all witnessed over the past couple of years people shutting down speech on college campuses, and now it's spreading beyond the college campuses. And that's part of what I wanted to talk to you about today.
Well, the closest we have to fascism in the United States is the university in the United States.
How did that happen?
Because the left took over, and the left does not value liberty. The left values equality. The left values environmental protection. The left values feminism and values liberation movements, but they don't value liberty. It's not a left-wing love. Since Marx to this day, anywhere on the left, that is not it. Compassion, and again, of course, equality. Look, why did left-wingers go down and celebrate Hugo Chavez? And there are now lines for toilet paper in Venezuela. But it doesn't matter to the leftists who celebrated Hugo Chavez because he spoke in terms of equality. And that is what matters to the left.
Well, they made everyone equal in Venezuela. Everyone is starving and everyone is now poor.
Everyone is lined up. That is right. That's exactly right. And that is the case wherever the left takes over. The left has taken over. I always tell people, they say, well, why do you keep speaking about how bad the left is? I said, well, why don't you look at the one place that they have no opposition, that they entirely govern, the American University. Do you think that it is a freer place? Do you think that it is intellectually better than it was 50 years ago? Do you think it is morally better? Do you think you will get more wisdom? I mean, the university today, I mean, people take over at Yale. They are now demanding that the introduction to the great poets course be dropped because they're all white males. So the issue is not who wrote the best poetry. It is what is the color of the people who wrote poetry.
You wrote recently, let me quote you to yourself. You actually say that conservatives need to identify and call out the source of political correctness. And you said it's the left. In fact, the very definition of political correct is that which is acceptable to the left. And the definition of politically incorrect is that which is unacceptable to the left.
But yes. The very term politically incorrect is a politically correct term because it hides what it really means. It has nothing to do with politics. It has everything to do with leftism. There is no, tell me a politically incorrect term that offends the right. It doesn't exist. It is all about the left.
I'm glad you say it's all about the left because as I've grown over the many decades. I grew up in what I call a very classic liberal Jewish family. But my family—
That's redundant. That is redundant. Just say Jewish family.
Jewish family, right.
Right. We know it's liberal.
Except I just finished reading Kim Holmes' The Closing of the Liberal Mind. And what I started to realize when I was much, much younger, it was right after reading Animal Farm, actually, that I started to ask questions because we'd have these intense discussions at the dinner table that the liberal family that I feel at home with in Portland, Maine or Miami, Florida, that family today would not be identified as liberal. They identify themselves as liberal Democrats, but in reality, they're really 1980s versions of Ronald Reagan supporting Republicans or Democrats who voted for Reagan. They don't know that, but that's what they are because the liberal movement in the United States has gone so far left that the people I love fail to see they have been left behind.
Well, that's the point that a point that I always make. I'm talking about the left, not liberals. Liberals a la Truman, a la Henry Jackson, the senator from Washington, a la John F. Kennedy, the senator from New York, Daniel Patrick Moynihan, they're gone. These people would be Republicans today. And I could prove it. I would challenge every one of your listeners to take John F. Kennedy's inaugural address, give it to any college student they know, and say this was given as an inaugural address by a president. Was it a Republican or a Democrat? They will all say Republican.
That's a great – you know what? I'm going to bring that to my supervisors and say let's give this a shot.
Good. Good. And let me know the results.
Yeah, I'm going to suggest we do that. But let me ask you this. Have you always been or identified yourself as a conservative or did you go through an evolution – what I call it is the eye-opening?
I always knew I loathed the left, but I thought I was a liberal and I was not a conservative. But I knew I loathed the left because I grew up in the height of the Cold War, and I am preoccupied with evil. Good and evil have preoccupied me since I was in elementary school. It's just my nature. I hate people who do evil. I hate evil. I hate cruelty, etc. Therefore, when I knew, and I knew because anyone who could read knew this, knew that the successor to the Nazis in terms of evil were the communists. And the left world was not anti-communist. It was either pro-communist or anti-anti-communist. That's why when Ronald Reagan said that the Soviet Union was an evil empire, the New York Times and the Boston Globe and the Washington Post and the L.A. Times, the Chicago Tribune and ABC, NBC, CBS, yes, they went ballistic. As if there was any doubt, if the Soviet Union is not an evil empire, then there's no such thing as evil and there's no such thing as an empire.
My friends will say to me, because they'll ask me why I identify with certain things, and I'm very guarded, by the way. I talk about, and Talkonomics allows me to share some opinions, but I have to be very, very careful because people, as a reporter, people don't want to know my opinions. They want to know what's happening. So I'm very careful on this. But my friends will say to me, well, you're really a fiscal conservative but a social liberal. And I say, no. My definition of conservative, and it's evolving, but my definition of why I would call myself a conservative, and you can be a conservative Democrat or a conservative Republican. My definition of conservative is that liberals want to bring about a better society, and they believe the way you do that is by forcing everyone to conform to regulation and law. Conservatives want to bring about better individuals and believe that the better individuals will bring about a better society. So you need to get the government out of the way of the individual so that they can achieve who they're intended to be. That's my definition of why I'm conservative.
Forgive me, to a lobster-eating Jew, but that was a kosher explanation.
Why is it kosher?
Why is it kosher?
Yeah.
You mean the lobster eating or the explanation?
No,
the explanation is perfect. That is exactly right.
And it's
we want the government out of our way. That was America was founded to have limited government. The left is undoing the American Revolution. I mean that literally.
Well, and then if you say what I just said, my friends will say, so you don't believe for any regulation whatsoever? And, blah, and they'll
know,
go on with
that. I know. That means that they went to graduate school. If they could talk that illogically, it means they went to graduate school.
Yeah, of course.
Actually, you have to be taught to think that illogically. Does anybody – you would be an anarchist, not a conservative, if you thought there should be no rules in life.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, the rules we want are should be self-imposed. That was the – that is why I don't buy the notion – and you should see my column about a month or two ago. It's sort of an open letter to secular conservatives
mm-hmm.
that they need to understand that the American Trinity – and that is my title for it – what the three things that Americanism stand on, liberty – liberty in God we trust and e pluribus unum. They're on every coin. And God we trust is part of it because if people are not going to be kept in check by government, then they need to be kept in check by a belief that there is a God who will judge them.
Or something greater than themselves. I mean, that's what Kim Holmes talks about.
That's right.
We used to, you know, the foundation of Western original liberal thought, by the way, Kim Holmes says this in his book, is that there was this belief in a universal morality that there is something greater than us. And when the what he calls the new modern left, totally everyone's feeling and intellectual, whatever you want to call it, belief system has equal weight. Therefore, there's no moral foundation whatsoever.
Well, that's right. What we have is we live in the age of cut flower ethics. The ethics of our society were grown and nurtured in religious soil. They have been ripped out of that religious soil, and people think the flowers will continue to live. They won't.
Is it a contradiction, though? Because I'm thinking about the constant arguing, debating that goes on with family and friends. Would it be a contradiction to say that somebody could embody the principles we're talking about and be a gay conservative, or somebody could embody the principles we're talking about and be a conservative feminist?
Of course you could be a gay conservative. Of course.
It's not in contradiction.
Sorry. No, of course not. The issue is not your own sexual orientation and what values you have. I have dear friends, a male couple in San Francisco who are as conservative as I am.
You wrote about that about 6 or 7 months ago. You wrote about this issue.
Yeah, the issue that makes you conservative is not your sexual orientation any more than heterosexual isn't necessarily conservative. A homosexual is not necessarily a liberal. The issue is what positions you hold. If you wish to redefine marriage by gender for the first time in human history, that is a left-wing position. Whether or not you are gay or whether you are gay or straight, it's the position that we're assessing. The redefinition of marriage in that regard is a left-wing position.
Or the redefinition of our society being almost, it seems, close to religion. I'm going to tell a story from my youth. I grew up in Coral Gables, Florida. And I was very young. I'm in the car with my father.
I thought you grew up in Maine.
No, but partially.
You're really confusing
my grandparents.
Me.
I had the best of look. Before I, as a kid, we went to Florida. You know, it's back and forth between Portland and Miami. But Coral Gables, Florida. And they used to put a big cross on City Hall every Easter because they would have, I guess, Sunrise Mass in front of City Hall. And I asked my father about that because he was upset by that. And I said, well, why? these people, and I was just a kid. So
was your father American-born or European?
Oh, yes. No, my father is an American. He's a lawyer.
Okay, go on. So he was a lawyer. He's a lawyer. Oh, okay. You should have said that in the beginning.
But I said to him, well, why? They're just, you know, they have a right to worship. And
you said that to your father?
Yeah.
I'm not joking. That is impressive.
Well, and I've never taken that as an affront. Years later,
I am a religious Jew who is delighted to see the cross in America.
Doesn't
delighted.
Upset me either. But I also am a religious Jew who will wish someone a Merry Christmas, because I've never seen it as an affront to my being who I am or an insult to the person I'm wishing a Merry Christmas.
Do Jews in Israel wish non-Jews in Israel a Shana Tova, a Happy New Year on the Jewish New Year? Of course.
Yeah.
And do the non-Jews respond, Shana Tova, Happy New Year? Of course, even though it's not their New Year. Then why wouldn't we say Merry Christmas to our fellow American? By the way, Christmas is a national holiday.
Why do we try to strip all of this away from our...
Because the left loathes Christianity, loathes it. And it loathes Judaism, too. But it particularly loathes Christianity.
But it's,
and it wants a godless society like Europe and the university. Wherever the left dominates, godlessness follows.
And that's what's, you know, at the root of many things that form my judgment scares the heck out of me, because we've seen in this world what happens when there is absolute hate. And the irony, when I listen to the people on college campuses or so-called liberals and leftists say they're about tolerance, and what they're about is intolerance. And it terrifies me, because we saw what happened in Nazi Germany when you silence people and you take away their ability to speak. And I'm not so sure the left, they say they would never do these kinds of things.
Yeah, but they do these things. Look at the university again,
right.
The place that they dominate, they shut down quasi-violently. They shut down by screaming, hollering, pushing. They shut down speakers that they do not agree with.
I'm going to challenge you right now. So, you know, Donald Trump has said some things that have made a lot of people uncomfortable, conservative and liberal. And you're backing Donald Trump. And I think you said because you have no other choice. Want to explain
yes.
that?
I spent the entire primary season attacking Donald Trump on my radio show, losing listeners doing so, I might add, and in print, in my National mm-hmm. Review and other columns. I thought he was the worst of the 17 by far. I found him, frankly, disgusting. His comments on John McCain alone should have invalidated him, then on President Bush, and his absurd statement about President Bush knowing that there were WMD in Iraq. I mean, I could. The litany is of morally unacceptable acts and words.
But you're going to vote
for him. Yes, but I am going to vote for him, because my choice is an undesirable Republican versus an undesirable Democrat. And so there are two doors in front of me.
Yeah.
This is the best analogy I could give. I have two doors. I have to open one of them. Over one door, it says man-eating lion. Over the other door, it says perhaps a man-eating lion. Which door would you open?
Well, of course, you're going to do the perhaps. But
yes, exactly. That's right. And there is even the potential that it will be a semi-attractive princess. It may not. I don't know. There is no way to know. He is utterly unpredictable, which is not good, but it beats what I know for a fact. There is a Hebrew phrase, Masha Batuach Batuach. What is certain is certain. I am certain with Hillary Clinton or Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders or any Democrat, I am certain of a left-wing Supreme Court, which means that it is irrelevant if who owns Congress. Irrelevant, because they legislate with judges. So it is truly irrelevant. If the left could have Congress or the Supreme Court, it's much better for them to have Congress, because then they pass laws through justices. So I don't have a choice. We supported Stalin against Hitler. Stalin was one of the great mass murderers of human history, but we supported him against the greater bad. Now, she is not Hitler, and he is not Stalin. I am simply giving an example of where you have to hold your nose and you have to dirty your hands in order to do good.
I ride the subway every day. I hold my nose and dirty my hands every day.
There you go. There you go. That's why I left. I lived in New York, and I understand what you're talking about.
Before, I want to continue some of this because we have to hit the free speech stuff. But before we go there, I want people who are listening, you've got to go to Prager University. It is eye-opening, and it is not what you would expect. If you identify yourself as a liberal, and I mean the classic sense, the European sense of liberal, not the new leftist definition of liberal, or if you identify as a conservative, the videos are perfect. Because you can watch them on your iPhone in 3 to 5 minutes. But it's everything. It's on climate change. It's on history.
Men and women.
It's on all of it. And it's fascinating because my experience – I just watched – I can't think of his name. Dirty Jobs. It's up there right now.
Mike Howe.
Yeah, right. About chasing
Mike
your
Rowe,
passion.
I'm Mike sorry, Rowe. Mike Rowe. Rowe. I'm sorry.
And
yeah,
his statement is – it's addressed to college graduates. It's about everyone's told to chase your passion. That's a mistake. Right. Bring your passion along with you, but look for opportunity and chase that. I mean, it's a marvelous message. But all of the videos up there are really – I always walk away from thinking, never thought of it that way.
They're also given by professors from Stanford, Harvard –
Dershowitz, you've had
UCLA,
on
UCLA.
George Will has been on there on baseball.
MIT, George Will on baseball. Princeton, and Adam Carolla, the funniest
comedian.
Man in the English language. It's we pick the finest minds in the English speaking world, and we have a black South African member of parliament. Ask the question: is Israel an apartheid?
I loved
state?
That one. I saw that
the
one.
The guy lived under apartheid.
Mm-hmm.
And then he visited Israel to check out the claim. Is Israel an apartheid state? I lived under apartheid. I'm black South African. Nobody knows apartheid better than I do. And then he comes back from Israel and makes this video about what a lie it is.
I think Dershowitz did one, Alan Dershowitz.
Yes, BDS.
Yeah, on the Boycott Divest movement. And he talks about, you know, the refugees from 1948 on both sides, and how to this day the nations in the Arab world do not settle people who should be settled, and they're kept in refugee camps from 48 until 67, they were kept in refugee camps not by Israelis but by Arabs.
Yeah, and actually, he has done a number of for us, Alan Dershowitz. The one on the Palestinian refugees is actually by another black, Dumasani Washington.
Okay. Well,
yes.
The bottom line is people,
right.
And it's not just that. If you consider yourself an environmentalist, there was a wonderful one, and I actually reached out to this. I believe he's a professor in Europe because he was talking about, are electric cars really better for the environment? And he very clearly showed how the actual benefit of owning and driving an electric car is minuscule compared to driving a fuel efficient 4-cylinder.
That was Bjorn Lomborg from Denmark. I mean, this, and I want people to understand too. Thank you for mentioning this. I just want it's free. And number two, we had 70 million views last year. It's the most viewed conservative website on Earth.
Earth. You can say
yes,
Earth.
On Earth. Okay. Yeah. Well, no, I was going to say in the English speaking world, but I don't think in the non English speaking world there are conservative websites.
But the wonderful thing of what you're doing, and then I want to let me ask you. Why did you launch this? Because it's magnificent. And again, it's Prager University. Just Google it. It'll take you right there.
We launched it for a number of reasons, but I guess the biggest one is to begin to undo the damage, intellectually undo the damage of the university. That's why we called it a university. We have student after student saying, writing to us with their names and everything. You know, I just graduated Stanford, but I learned more at Prager University than I did in 4 years at Stanford. Or Bill Bennett's son went to Princeton. He said he learned more at Prager University than at Princeton. And I believe that. And obviously, if you study biology, you'll learn more at any college. We don't give biology or physics courses. But if it's about life, history, human relations, this is the place to go. And eventually, we have 140 courses now. I mean, soon, you know, we'll have 200. This will be the core curriculum for people who want to understand life.
Well, there was one, it's almost 2 years ago, maybe more, one of the earliest ones on taxation and why. I forget the actual title of it, but it showed three brothers. They have three homes. Do you remember that one?
it's our one animated,
on progressive
as
taxation,
it were.
Right.
Yes, exactly. And it explains the moral and logical flaw of the progressive taxation where I truly believe in a 10th grader can totally understand it.
Yeah, but well, that's the other beautiful thing about some of these videos is because there are, so as the lecturers, I'll call them, as the people are talking in the video, there are graphics as well as cartoons that explain what you're seeing so that you can retain the context of what's being said to you. I mean, there's one on history about the Civil War. And was the Civil War fought over slavery? Because there's some people will say that the Civil War was about states' rights and all of that. And the purpose of that video was, yes, of course it was fought about over slavery.
By the way, you know who gives that? In uniform, the head of the Department of History at West Point.
Yeah.
This is classy stuff.
Well, the reason I keep pointing this out, Prager University, is that people who identify as left of center – they would feel at home, it's my opinion. I think my family members who identify as left of center would feel at home watching these videos.
That's correct. And it's very deliberate on our part. We don't insult anybody.
You don't attack.
We don't label anybody. We don't attack anybody. Here are the facts in an extremely concise manner, extremely professionally done. You react.
So, and this may be where I am naive. Yes, I'm a TV reporter, so I am also gullible, believe it or not. I still believe... My father said once I was very cavalier, don't be so cavalier. I believe people, the majority of people are decent. I absolutely believe it. And when I see people getting violent and screaming and yelling on both sides, conservative and liberal, that also worries me. Because once you let that genie out of the bottle, the justification for anger, and there's a column in the Huffington Post by a man who he's a member of the tribe, which is he's Jewish, but he's I would suspect perhaps he's not practicing. I don't know. But he's also a father. He says he's atheist actually, so he's not practicing. But he says it's okay to be violent to stop Donald Trump. And I read what he wrote, and I understand it because I come out of a background that says, okay, I see your points. But I have to tell you, I don't think Gandhi or Martin Luther King would ever, ever say that violence is acceptable.
Right. So why isn't it acceptable to use violence to stop people on the left?
Well, when I bring up
people who advocate, for example, what would he say?
He'd say because we're right.
Well, that's exactly right. Well, but we think we're right, but we don't think violence is appropriate. But people need to understand that in the heart of leftism is totalitarianism.
Absolutely.
So therefore, this man is only expressing what in their hearts I believe. That what's our economist at the New York Times?
Krugman.
Paul Krugman. I believe in his heart, Krugman believes that violence against Trump is morally acceptable. He wouldn't write it, but I believe in his heart he believes that. Well, because this is those whom we oppose are fascists. That's their belief. Right. Remember, we are labels. Conservatives are
evil.
Six-herb.
Conservatives sexist. Are always called evil.
Right. We're not wrong. We think they're wrong. They think we're evil. Why couldn't you use violence against evil?
Well, let me ask you. Okay. So when I bring up this issue, friends will challenge me. Well, if Hitler was alive today, wouldn't you protest? Wouldn't you do something? I said, of course I would. If Hitler were alive today, I point out to them, I would not be alive. Of course I would protest.
But if Hitler had an Orthodox Jewish daughter married to an Orthodox Jewish man with Orthodox Jewish grandchildren, there wouldn't have been a Holocaust. So they're just effing morons.
Let's go down this road here. We have violence in this campaign right now. And we've seen it, Bernie Sanders supporters. It is – I feel – and maybe it's because 68% of the population is now younger than me, but I feel as if the world's upside down. Am I misguided?
Well, I would put it as, and then I want to react to a previous comment you made. Mm-hmm. I would say that what has happened is not that the world is upside down, but that the moral compass in the West is broken, and that's because the left has taken over the West. And to understand why that happened, people should all read Modern Times by Paul Johnson, because what happened in the early 20th century was people confused relativism in the world of physics with relativism in the world of morals. And that is what has happened. The area where I don't fully agree with you is I don't believe the majority of people are good. That's where you and I might differ. In fact, I have a video on that at Prager University. I only do 10% of the or 15% of the videos. But one of those that I did is on the danger of believing people are basically good.
We don't have time. I read a book years ago, Scott Peck, the Christian not theologian, but he was a psychologist, Road Less Traveled. But much better book is People of the Lie. It's about evil. We're a bit out of time, but I just want to get your last thoughts. If you are what most of us, I think, in the United States are, someone who identifies in the center, whether you're center left or center right, what do you need to do going forward with this election cycle to reinforce what I believe we still hold dear, which are American principles of individual liberty and the ability to choose your path?
What you need to do is to understand that the left is not committed to the basic principles of the founding of America. It doesn't make these people bad. It makes them wrong. We founded in this country a unique experiment in limited government, in great liberty, in a religious population with a secular government. These were all brand new experiments, and they are not normal. The normal is big government, whether it is a king or an elected parliament. People like to be taken care of. They don't like to take care of themselves, take care of their families, and take care of their neighbors. They want to be taken care of and have more time to dine out and travel. That is the European ideal today. That's why they're not marrying or they're not having children. So if you wish to undo that damage, there is only one way to do it, and that is to oppose the left. The left has a political party called the Democratic Party. So even though we have profoundly flawed individuals and some terrific individuals opposing them, there is no choice.
Dennis Prager, the world is a better place with you in it. And I'm thrilled I got to speak with you today. Thank you so much.
That means the world to me. Thank you.
I strongly encourage you to go to Prager University. If you disagree with the things you've heard today, or you want to challenge the things you've heard today, go to the university, pick a video to watch. I'm telling you, it's 3 to 5 minutes. These are terrific videos with all kinds of the smartest people in the country, actually in the world. And then you can text me. You can at Twitter. It's at AJ Shapps. Let me know what you think. Challenge what we've talked about here. I'm happy to respond, and I do respond to people when they message me on Twitter. Let me know what kinds of questions, and when we bring Mr. Prager back, you'd like to hear from him. But if you do anything, the most important thing, go to Prager University. Check out these videos. I promise you there is something for you there, and it will blow your mind in ways that you don't expect. I'm Adam Shapiro. Thank you again for joining us on Talkonomics.